you're interested, and if I could figure out how to upload the video to all the audio platforms, I will do that as well. Because I took many pictures, and I'm going to be going through my camera roll. Is that what it's still called? Camera roll. To remind myself of all the fun activities I did while I was there. I had so much fun.
Mexico is about 4.5
2.5 hours, but Mexico is 2 hours behind, so by the time we landed, it was around 11 p.m. And then by the time we got our bags and everything, it was around midnight, which was kind of cool because, like I said, I'd never taken a flight that landed in the nighttime before. I just thought it was cool. And this was also around the time of the World Cup finals. And because Mexico was one of the host countries with Canada and United States, there was a lot of World Cup celebrations all around. And I think one of the reasons why I liked landing in the nighttime is because I could just go straight to sleep and officially start my trip the next morning. So the next day we went to, I think it's called the Historic Center of Mexico, and now I'm going to refer to the pictures I took and the location it says, although I cannot speak Spanish. So I'm gonna try my best. So the historic center is named Cuauhtémoc. I hope I said that right. And we had breakfast here, and honestly, I couldn't read the menu, but I just wanted some type of bacon and eggs, like really, really basic, of course. And I ended up getting an omelet with bacon and cheese inside. And no joke, this is the best omelet I've ever had. I would have taken a picture, but it looked very, you know, simple, like an omelet. But the bacon inside was crispy. I have never had an omelet with crispy bacon inside. Most restaurants, even if you get bacon on the side, it's never like fully crispy unless you ask for it. But this was incredible. Like, I'm still thinking about this omelet. And that was the very first meal I had when I was there. So after that, I knew all the food would be good. I already know I love Mexican food. But the fact that they could make a simple bacon cheese omelet taste so good, oh, that just made my whole day. I think the first day I was there was probably my favorite day. We saw a lot of tourist places we went to. Like I said, the historic center, Cuauhtémoc Centro. Cuauhtémoc Centro. Or Centro Histórico. And this included their government buildings. I'm sorry, I don't know the proper words. And this beautiful big museum. And this big cathedral, as well as all of the World Cup FanFest activities. And a bunch of little merchant booths selling all types of things. I really loved this area. So first we went into the museum, Museo del Palacio de Bellas Artes. Oh my gosh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Museo del Palacio de Bellas Artes. See, I really thought my French skills would potentially come in handy when trying to understand Spanish, but no. And when it comes to speaking Spanish, I do not have that accent, but I'm trying. Anyways, we went to this museum very quickly because there was a huge line. It was very busy. I think it was on a Friday, so it was very busy. But the museum was beautiful from what I saw from just the entrance area. And we walked down the street with a bunch of vendors and as well as shops and stores that I recognize, just, you know, chain restaurants and stuff. But I love to see all of the small businesses and even the street entertainers. I was walking down the street and I was like, wait, everyone is so talented. And the food that they were selling looked and smelled so good. And the little toys and everything, I just loved that. It very much reminds me of European style streets, like with all the shops and stuff, kind of narrow roads, but entirely walkable, like barely any cars. And that's how I like it. On the lamp posts, they had axolotl characters, as well as, I don't know if it was a dragon or a snake. They would have axolotls and this like dragon looking thing. It was very cool. Obviously, Mexico is the home of the axolotl, so there was a lot of pictures and toys and just a lot of axolotls everywhere. I did not see the actual animal, but a lot of axolotl artwork, as well as a lot of, just a lot of things for the World Cup, which I did not watch really much or any of the World Cup, but shout out to the people that did. And of course, congratulations to Spain for winning. Clap. So in this historic area, there was a huge cathedral, and before I went on this trip, the one and only thing I really wanted to see was a church or a cathedral, and this was probably the biggest cathedral I have ever been in. And actually, kind of off topic, kind of not really, but while I was there, I learned that Mexico City is sinking, and in this cathedral there is a big pendulum that's swinging, and you could see how the pendulum is off center, and this is because Mexico City is on top of a lake bed, like a really old lake if I'm not mistaken. And according to this website, it says it is sinking up to 2 centimeters a month, which is insane. And it drops by up to 10 inches or 25 centimeters per year in certain areas. Over the past century, parts of the city have dropped nearly 40 feet. That's crazy. And inside this cathedral, you could see exactly how it is sinking and off center. Although, like, looks wise, I could not tell at all. I was with people who are from Mexico and they know all about it, so they pointed out how it is, like, some of the buildings are a little bit tilted, but I wouldn't have noticed it if they didn't point it out. But I loved being there with people who know all about the city, because I learned so much. I learned so much about the history of Mexico, Mexico City, how about 75% of Mexico was stolen by the United States. And this is something that I've probably heard before, but I never really took it in until I was there, and I was learning this from someone who was from there, you know, people that are actually affected by it. 75% of their country was stolen, including California, Texas, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico, and then parts of Colorado, Wyoming, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Isn't that crazy? And I know in response you might say, oh well, Mexico sold these states. But be for real, be for real. not a historian, but if you want to debate someone, go debate a Mexican historian, okay? Thank you. Anyways, I'm sure I had learned about this as a child in history class, but there's such a difference between learning in a classroom and actually visiting the country and speaking to people that are from there and hearing how these things affect their lives and their family and their history. So, yeah, once again, I'm really grateful that I was able to learn from people who actually lived there. And also, I learned that Canada was not the nicest to Mexico as well, especially when it comes to mining for their natural resources, such as petroleum, silver, and copper. According to this website, EBSCO.com, Mexico is the world's leading producer of silver, as well as petroleum, copper, and gold. And I think we all know what they're trying to use that copper for nowadays. SMH. Okay, so after that little history lesson, let's go back to talk about the cathedral. The most beautiful cathedral. Now, the location on my phone says Plaza de la Constitución, but I think that is the general area. And the cathedral was called the Metropolitan Cathedral of Mexico City in Spanish. Sorry, I don't know how to say that. But this was probably my favorite thing that I saw this entire trip. And because I am religious, I felt so much emotion going in here. I was honestly overwhelmed with emotion, like happiness, and honestly, I was feeling all the feelings. We entered through the main area, which I'm guessing is where the masses are held. And then if you go off to the side, there's a whole another part of the building with a bunch of different stations of prayer and dedication to different biblical figures, like Mary, of course. There was a lot of dedication to Mary, which I love to see, and honestly, that's the one that made me the most emotional. And this is when you should start looking at the video portion, because I took so many pictures in here. But respectfully, of course, there were some signs that said no pictures, so of course I did not take pictures of those areas. But there was one area with the bones of a martyr, which I thought was very cool. I looked him up a little bit because they had the description on the plaque underneath, but once again, I don't know Spanish, so this is what I was able to translate. San Vital, or Saint Vitalis of Milan, was an Italian saint who was martyred and buried alive during the persecutions for helping, it says for helping a companion to not lose his faith. I think that's just a rough translation. I googled it, and it says he was discovered to be a Christian after openly supporting fellow believers. So that makes sense. He was tortured and thrown into a deep pit and buried alive under stones. And I do believe that the bones of saints and martyrs can be incorrupt, meaning they don't go through the normal decaying decomposition process after death, and they become these holy relics. As I walked further into the cathedral, I started to see and understand why this took over 240 years obviously it's huge, but all the artwork and detail is so ornate and beautiful. Like, I don't think anything even similar to this can be replicated nowadays. The pictures that I took are so beautiful. I almost might have to make them my phone wallpaper because of how beautiful it is. And there's a dedication to Mary that is so gorgeous. There's multiple dedications to her, but the main one is beautiful. Yeah, that might have to be my new phone wallpaper. If you're looking at the video right now, you see it. Honestly, after seeing that, I was feeling very fulfilled. I was not able to go to an actual mass, which is sad and unfortunate, but at least I was able to be in that space. I'm very grateful for that because I think that is probably the biggest cathedral I've ever been in.
Was one round with women fighters.
has some bad history, so I won't say her name out loud, but she was an incredible fighter. And I really hope YouTube does not get mad at me for including all these fight videos, but they're professionals. And I couldn't help it. I was just enjoying it so much. I took so many videos this night. I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I kind of wish I got one of those masks, like as a souvenir or something. I guess I can always still get one at some point in my life, but outside the arena, there was a bunch of little booths selling masks and little trinkets and souvenirs. But unfortunately, it was raining when we left, so no shopping for me that day, but it's okay. Also, when we left, this is just a random little thing, but okay, I'm new to wearing flip-flops. I always thought flip-flops were super uncomfortable. I think I said this in my last episode, but I found my perfect pair of flip-flops. But I was wearing them all day and doing all that walking, so I did develop a little blister on the side of one of my feet. And as we were exiting the arena, and it was raining so crazy, I actually stepped in the biggest puddle. And my mind is weird when it comes to like germs and stuff. I don't know, ever since I can remember, I swear, if I touch something nasty, I feel the germs crawling up or down my body. So imagine me with my flip-flops and my blister, and I step into this puddle of, I don't know, sewage water. I don't know. I was trying to keep it cool, but in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get an infection. I'm in a foreign country and I'm gonna get an infection. I was thinking all types of things like, oh no. But my parents always make me get medical insurance when I go on a trip, so shout out to them. Nothing happened. Luckily, I was perfectly fine, but my brain did start to freak out a little bit. But it's all good. Don't worry. No infection. I think it was probably mostly rainwater. I don't know. Let me not think about it too much, but yeah, my feet are perfectly fine after that. And that all happened on the very first day. So I did so much that day. I think that's why it was my favorite day of the whole trip. And as I get older, like my age right now, I am really growing to appreciate the history and the actual tourist attractions. So yeah, I really liked that. So the next day was the actual reason why we went to Mexico. It was for a big family party, as well as a 100th birthday party, which in my opinion humans should live, or in my mind I just imagine that humans are meant to live till 100. Like 100 is the perfect age, and unfortunately most people do not make it to 100. But being around someone that made it to their 100th birthday just felt so special. Like that makes me so happy. And having all of the family around to celebrate just must feel so fulfilling. I really hope and pray that I can experience my 100th birthday one day. So this family party was unlike any family party that I've ever been to, because first of all, my family is a little bit smaller, very much smaller. even with all my aunts and uncles and my cousins, it's probably like, I don't know, 30 people. But this family party must have had at least 150, which is just so cool to me. It's so cool. And the party also lasted 8 hours, which I'm sure this is all super normal to some people listening, but to me this is new. But I loved it, like actually no complaints. And I think I also mentioned this last week, but usually my social battery lasts about 2 hours before I need to take a break or tap out. But I was enjoying all 8 hours of this party. I even started dancing, like I was fully doing the thing, and I was having so much fun. The food there was incredible. It was incredible. I should have taken more pictures of the food, but honestly, everything I ate in my entire time there was so good, of course. I didn't expect otherwise, but yeah, the food was great. The music was great. I don't know what type of dancing I was doing, but I loved it. And I honestly did take ballroom dancing classes, which included a bunch of different ballroom dances, including salsa, and I think a lot of that came into play during this. Because I never thought of myself as the best dancer, but when it comes to like male, female ballroom dancing type, like hand on the shoulder, whatever, whatever, I can do that. It wasn't ballroom music, you know, it was Latin music, of course, but I still felt very capable of doing it, which was very out of my comfort zone. But I loved it. I loved it just so much. I even learned how to line dance. When they started line dancing, I was like, okay, this is perfect for me, like the group dance. I've never done that before, but I was doing it. I was joining along. It was so much fun. Then they did a faster version of the line dance, and oh my gosh, I was like stepping on everyone's toes. I felt so bad, but obviously they weren't mad. Everyone was having so much fun. And usually I would think that I would only thrive during the group dances, but no, the other dances, I don't know if it was salsa or bachata, I don't know, but those were maybe even more fun. I did not know that I could feel the music like that, like truly. But like I said, in my ballroom dancing classes, when I was like in high school, we did learn how to do the salsa, so I guess it's not like I was fully going in blind, but either way, I loved it. I loved it all. Honestly, I said the first day was the most fun, but this was just as fun. This whole party, it was so, so very enjoyable for me. Shout out to the people with big families. Like, that's really incredible. I love my small family, of course, but it's fun to experience something new, something that I've never had the chance to experience before. I really loved that. My last full day there, and this is kind of off topic, maybe someone could diagnose me, I don't know, but every morning, almost every single morning, I wake up starving. And this is not just something that happened while I was there, like this happens to me at home almost every single day. I wake up starving. It feels like my stomach is eating itself in the morning. And it doesn't matter if I ate right before bed the night before or like a couple hours before, it doesn't matter. wake up starving, but there was a Starbucks right by the Airbnb we were sleeping at, so of course I had to stop by and see what they had. I'm literally so white. But anyways, it's sometimes fun to see what these chain restaurants have in other countries, because there's always different stuff. And let me tell you, the Starbucks menu in Mexico, it was like fancy sandwiches and all these new pastries and drinks I never heard of. It was like, we need some of that here. They had this really good chocolate donut, and even the croissants tasted actually fresh, or at least way more fresh than what I'm used to. So of course I had to get my little Starbucks. I know that's so freaking lame, but I needed it. And it was so close to us, so I figured it was just meant to be. Anyways, something else I experienced. Now this might be the worst thing that I experienced when I was there. It wasn't anything to do with the country, but for some reason I had terrible nightmares every single night. I don't know why. And honestly, the nightmares that I had were probably the worst nightmares I could ever remember in my life, at least in my adult life. And that kinda sucked. I'm still trying to figure out why, and I guess I have a few reasons why, but yeah, that was just the most unpleasant. But that was just something with me and myself, not with the country at all. I'm just mentioning that because it was weird and random. I was only there for 3 nights and I had a nightmare, like terribly, every single night. Now, it could be because the Airbnb was right by a nightclub, and maybe it was just like loud throughout the night, and I don't know, that got into my head or something and it scared me and my nightmares, I don't know. But after waking up in the middle of the night from my nightmares, I heard what I think was an owl outside. If it wasn't an owl, it was some type of bird that was making owl like noises, and it actually really helped relax me. And just listening to the birds there in general, the birds sound prettier. I don't know. The bird tweets are obviously different. They have different birds there, but the birds just sounded prettier and nicer, and the owl was soothing, and I really liked it. Little video of the birds. I don't know if I will include the audio. We'll see if it sounds good. I'll include it. If there's too much background noise, just imagine you can hear the pretty birds. I swear they sounded like they were speaking Spanish. I don't know, in the most beautiful way though. That day we went on this boat adventure, this place called Xochimilco. Xochimilco. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's a bunch, and I mean a bunch, like so many boats that are painted so beautifully, and they go down this river. It was explained to me like kind of the Venice of Mexico, because there's the men rowing the boats with their big sticks. The only thing is, I did not know that it was like a drinking party boat experience. So I kind of went into it expecting like nice boat around the water and seeing all the scenery and stuff. But no, it was quite literally a party, boat, party experience. It was cool, but I think I just wasn't expecting it, so I wasn't fully tuned into it. But I was sitting right at the front of the boat, so I was able to see all of the scenery and look around and see the people at the end of their docks and the houses. And there was this really cool bird I kept seeing. I think it's an egret, if I'm not mistaken. That was really cool. He looked like a pelican, but he didn't have the long droopy neck, so I think it was an egret. Afterwards, I looked up all of the birds in Mexico, and I was like, oh yes, I saw this one, I saw this one, I saw this one. It was very cool. So although I wasn't really participating in the drinking and socialization part, I still really enjoyed looking out at the scenery. And there were so many boats, and some of the boats were like people selling flower crowns and alcohol and elote, which was really nice, and souvenirs, and just a bunch of different merchants on these boats that would row by and sell whatever they were selling. The amount of small businesses and people just hustling was really, truly inspiring. I was not trying to drink, so I didn't partake in that, but I did get elote there. And elote is corn with some type of cream cheese, mayo, something, and then the cheese on top and the chili. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. You can add a bunch of things or take away whatever you want. I love elote, but this was so spicy, so much chili powder. Honestly, I took one bite and my eyes were watering, so that was a little unfortunate. As a non-drinker and non-spicy person, all I had was just the views, but that was okay. And everyone else on the boat was watching the World Cup final game, because that was happening at the exact same time. And like I said, I'm not too interested in that, but honestly, I was very satisfied with just looking around at the views and the birds. And there would be some dogs that would come by. Like, it was very cute. I loved to look at it, or I loved to look around, sorry. And towards the end of the boat ride was also the end of the World Cup game. And if you were watching that game, you know there was like, I think it was 0 points until overtime, if I'm not mistaken. But towards the end, that's when Spain finally scored, and everyone on the boat was rooting for Spain, so it was very fun. Like, I did like to be around for that. It just felt like really good vibes all around. Although, unfortunately, like I said, I was definitely not speaking very much. But it's okay, I just didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I guess the type of person that I am, I like to mentally prepare myself beforehand. So if I knew this was a drinking, socializing type of boat, I could have prepared myself. But yeah, I was able to still enjoy it quietly. So after the boat, we were all hungry, so we went to a restaurant in the area where Frida Kahlo is from, which I remember in probably familiar, Frida Kahlo is a Mexican artist, and her story is honestly really tragic. I'm gonna read this straight from fridakahlo.org so I don't mess anything up. But she is considered one of Mexico's greatest artists. She was born July 6, 1907. She contracted polio at the age of 6 and had to be bedridden for 9 months. This disease caused her right leg and foot to grow much thinner than her left. She limped after she recovered from polio and had been wearing long skirts to cover that for the rest of her life. Then, at the age of 18, she was in a horrible bus accident. A metal handrail impaled her pelvis, causing severe fractures to her spine, ribs, and legs. She had 11 fractures in her right leg and a punctured uterus. So after this, she was bedridden once again. She was forced to abandon her dreams of attending medical school and endured over 30 surgeries throughout her life. During the time that she was bedridden and recovering, her mother brought her a custom portable easel and placed a mirror above her bed. Lying flat, she started painting self-portraits, turning her physical suffering and isolation into a legendary artistic career. And this is all from Encyclopedia Britannica's Frida Kahlo guide. If you would like to look up more, or if you're curious where I'm reading this from, her story is honestly truly tragic. From the injuries and the accident to all the infidelity from her husband, she really lived an unfortunately sad life, and you can see the pain in her artwork. It's truly sad but beautiful at the same time. And the unfortunate thing about most artists is that they don't get the true recognition they deserve until after they pass. She actually has some famous last words that are honestly just as tragic as her life story. This is the English translation. This was found written in her diary right before she died. "I joyfully await the exit, and I hope to never return." So that my first red eye flight. I think it left at midnight, and it was 4.5 hours with the time change. We ended up getting back to Toronto at 7 a.m. And I tried to sleep the entire flight because it was overnight, and I don't think I could get more than 5 minutes of sleep. Was the full like 90 degree chair upright, didn't even go back like 1 centimeter, which I thought I could sleep anywhere. I was proven wrong. I didn't use my phone at all during this flight because I was trying to sleep the whole time, but yeah, it didn't work. So I pulled like, I don't know, it felt like I pulled a 48-hour no sleep, but it's okay. I'm back home now, and I think maybe that's why my sleep schedule is still messed up. Like, I'm waking up at noon every day, and I thought when you're dealing with jet lag or you're overcoming jet lag, it's like one day per hour difference until your body gets used to it again, but it's been like 4 days. Might even be longer. And yeah, my sleep schedule is still kind of on the Mexican timing. That's fine. It's summer. I'll get back to my early wake-ups soon, I'm sure. But now I'm gonna complain a little bit, okay? Well, not complain, well, maybe complain. Okay, after that flight back, I'm taking a vow to myself that, like, if I'm doing a flight over 3 hours, I need to spend a little more to get a little bit better seats. Because that was honestly very not enjoyable. Maybe my body just didn't want to leave Mexico so bad. The flight home was kind of miserable, but it's okay. That's just my only complaint. Anyways, next time catch me first class. JK, why is first class like $10,000 more than economy? Like, seriously, that's kind of crazy. But one day, I think it's okay to have high standards for myself and my comfort. It's kind of ironic I'm saying all this after talking about Frida Kahlo and all the pain she endured in her life. You know what? Maybe I should try to channel Frida. Well, maybe I shouldn't. You know what? Anyways, shout out to her. She was a warrior. Rest in peace, Queen. Oh, actually, I'll leave you with a question that I asked my Twitch stream after I got back. Is all Coca-Cola in Mexico Mexican Coke? Or is it just the Coke in the glass bottles? Because at the airport, waiting for the flight back home, we went to Carl's Jr., which I never been to Carl's Jr. before, but they randomly had so many Carl's Jr.'s in Mexico City, so I figured I might as well try it. And I got a Coke from there, and I swear I tasted the difference. It's like the different type of sugar. I tasted it, but it wasn't Coke in the glass bottle, so I don't know if it was just like a placebo effect, or if genuinely all Coke in Mexico is Mexican Coke, like using the cane sugar instead of whatever sugar we use over here. Either way, I swear I tasted a difference, but let me know. Maybe if you know the answer. I could Google this, but I'm not going to. Anyways, that's kind of overall little summary of my trip. I hope I did not forget anything, but I just went based off of the pictures that I took on my phone, and I took a lot of pictures. So I highly recommend you guys to visit Mexico or Mexico City if you have the chance. Next time I go back, I probably want to go to the more beachy areas of Mexico. I don't know what those places are called, but I would like to explore more, and I'm sure I will go back. I've been to Mexico once on a cruise, like so many years ago, but it was just on a cruise, so we got off and walked around for a few hours in a very touristy area. So I don't know if I consider that visiting. But this trip I just went on, I really took everything in and I loved it. I highly recommend. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you again next Sunday.